Your mic.
Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophies, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're at in the world today. And as usual, you can be one of 202 countries that regularly visit our site. And I'm your host, Ed Hubbard, along with my illustrious and ever-beautiful crap co-host. We cannot hear Marianne. Oh, no. And she should be on 1 second. Kind of one of those Mercury retrograde moments, which should be over here really shortly.
Honey, it won't let me unmute me.
I could hear you just right there. I just heard you.
How about now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, when you did it, you pressed the wrong button, and so I was trying to figure out what was the right button.
That's okay.
But here I am now.
And here you are.
Okay.
And I'm so grateful that you're there. So tonight we're going to tackle some of the questions of gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. And I guess it's going to be a theme for us this week. And so it is. So how do we start this show today? Well, first of all, let's find out what Marianne did this week, if she has anything interesting to share with us.
Okay.
Well, you've been doing a lot of bullet stuff. I mean, you started etching and engraving this week.
I actually have been doing that for a while, yeah. I have been doing some etching for a while. I put up some etched bullets this past mm-hmm. week that I've been working on. I've been working on some new blood crystal bullets because I had somebody ask that if I still had some, and I do, so I've been working on some of those.
And you got some new hematite in.
I did. I've been working on, I actually got hematite and obsidian, black obsidian. So I've been doing those as well. I've got a couple, and they really look like bullets. So they're pretty realistic. They're kind of neat, and those would both be really good for grounding. So I'm still working on those. I haven't got them finished yet, but I am working on them.
Okay, and so if you want to, everybody's talking about Black Friday and all that. Well, you don't need to wait to Black Friday to go ahead and get your Christmas gifts from Marianne. And because it definitely has also a peaceful component. So peace on earth, goodwill to men. You do definitely help that out when you have Marianne involved with that, with her jewelry.
Something that I can probably do for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I got to find it first. I have a coupon code that I gave to the Krilling Times members, and I would be willing to give that to the listeners on the radio show as well. But I got to find it. We'll keep talking, and I'll come back.
And if you want to give us a call tonight and tell us what you're grateful for this this time of year, 347-308-8222, and you can exchange it with us. Now,
okay, it's CT Yule 2012. And you can use in either of my stores, and you can get 10% off. So that'd be a good thing to do if you want to buy a Yule gift and you want to get a little bargain, and I do custom items as well. So I'm done with my commercial now. Okay.
Well, not really. Yeah, I guess so.
But
So let's really begin this, because this is a time of year you're going to hear a lot of talking about what's happening out in the world and that we should be grateful for what we have. The idea that no matter what happens your way, you should be grateful for it. And so that it's about the attitude of gratitude. It's a common statement. People make that statement all the time. And from what I can tell, the idea is that no matter what happens, you should be grateful. And what do I mean by that? In the idea that no matter how difficult the aspect is, it could always be worse.
So do you feel like that is like a pretty universal concept? Or is that something, is that something that you think pagans feel as well as Christians, or what? What do you think?
All honesty, I also believe I have two separate concepts here that I hold in my head, and they're contradictory.
Okay.
The first for me, the first one that comes in is, yeah, it's pretty universal. It is definitely universal amongst the masses, the average person. I think the average person has to believe or is led to believe that there's a God in heaven who will punish us or reward us according to the deeds we do in this life, that the good guy always wins, good always wins in the end, that there's karma, and so for bad people will always get their just rewards. And that everything that happens to you happens for a reason. I mean, that's the basis of most religions.
Okay, so you're saying that it's like destiny and you can't change it? Or what would be the point of having religion if you can't change it? Or you can't, if good behavior can't make it better or whatever?
Well, that's kind of what it is that's the idea that God knows everything and everything's preordained. It's, some sort of Calvinism that, everything's already chosen. God already knows everything that's going to happen, ever will happen, and everything's already set in stone. And it kind of just makes us, it reduces us to shadow figures. Now, I'm a big believer that free will, that we have free will. And I don't see that everything in the world is for the good. I don't see the world as a good thing, or every challenge that comes onto you is for your benefit. I just don't personally see that. I don't have a faith in my God I don't have a faith that my God is always good. How could we even perceive, how can a deity who is supposedly omniscient even perceive good or evil? I don't even think that's even possible, or they would have to transcend to our level, because what's good in one society is bad in another. Let's take something like gay marriage. In the pagan community, we see this as perfectly acceptable, but in many parts of the Christian community, it's the worst sin in the world. So who's right? Who's right? Well, it's a matter of perception, and I think that any God that would be making judgments on this are kind of just, I don't see that everything that happens to them, people, is always good and always just and always fair. I mean, I always have a hard time reconciling it.
Okay, I have to agree with you. I don't think that everything that comes along for us should be accepted as like, oh, well, that's just the way it is. We can't change it. Life's not fair. I mean, unfortunately, sometimes that might be true, but there's other times when you can actually either actively work to change it, or you can throw a hissy fit and it'll make you feel better.
Right.
As children, you were told, well, you know, that's just you need to eat this because you're lucky to have these vegetables because the children in Europe, I don't know if they still say that or not, you know, don't
have
this.
For me, it was China.
Who cares? Is it China for you? Okay.
It was China for me.
Yeah, so it's like, I didn't care, you know, I was a kid. It's like, so what? They can have my vegetables. I'll send them to them, no problem.
Well, isn't that the first response? Oh,
yeah.
Let me be charitable. Let me send them vegetables.
They want them. I'm willing to give them up.
Oh, it's like,
so, I think as kids, our instincts were right. It's like, well, this isn't right. I'm sorry, but no. But as adults, you said, well, you just got to go along with the program, and, you know, you just got to be happy with what you got. And it's like, well, why? Why can't I have more?
And that's it. And the idea is, one of the concepts you hear in the attitude of gratitude is that you attract what you put out. And again, it blames you for everything that happens to you. I mean, there is this aspect of it, is that, I guess people are probably shocked at this. Aren't you talking about positive things? Oh, we are.
Well, this is a positive thing. I mean, if you're willing to just lie back and take it, you know, it's like, then that's what you're going to get. Sure, there's times when things come your way and it's like, okay, you know, I get it. This is all I'm going to get. And, you know, okay, I accept that. But not every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to take everything that comes at you as a good thing. You know, it's like something horrible happens. You don't go, oh, thank you, God, for this gift. It's like, no, man, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way I feel. I just can't believe that you should be able to just, you know, have to take it all the time. Take it on
right.
the chin, so to speak.
And nor do I. I mean, I don't think that you have to take it all the time. But the idea is if you take it all the time, that you believe in this concept that good always wins and evil is always defeated, then you can at least have some sort of satisfaction when things happen to you that you can accept it a little better.
Okay.
You know, that you can accept it better, that it isn't, you don't have to fight at the moment, that you can sit back and relax.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see that all the time. I see evil people prosper. I see
right.
good people
and
hurt.
It, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that too. I mean, I know you have too.
Yes.
And,
yes, I have.
I mean, did the dictators of North Korea ever really suffer? Two of them have lived an entire lifetime being dictators of the most repressive regimes on earth, and they put their grandson into power. You know, did they get any karma for it? And one of the things that soothes the soul is the idea, oh, they're going to get punished in heaven. God's going to punish them.
Or wherever, you know, or wherever
right.
you happen to think, yeah, you're going to spend eternity. I don't know. I have no guarantee of that. I mean, there are times when that's all. There are times when there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, and so you have to accept that. It's like, I don't like it, but that's the way it is. But there's other times where it's like, no. I think maybe I can do something about this.
Mm-hmm. So I think one part of a true attitude of gratitude is when good things happen to you, be there and accept them. Yeah.
Well, and except that you might actually deserve something good instead of something bad.
And I think that's one of the things I think I find people have the hardest time with, accepting goodness. It's easy to accept, ha, 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 I just got kicked in the teeth again, ha, ha, ha. Well, what did I expect? But then you go back and go, well, you know, but when something good happens, it goes, oh, I just got something really good, so what's going to happen next? What's bad? I mean, people who do win again and again and again expect to win. They get to a point where they're happy with winning.
Right.
They're happy with winning.
Yeah. It's like they think that they're due that from, maybe not every time, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay. It's like today. I saw some. And sometimes I think that I have the picture. Check out my Facebook, Ed A. Hubbard at Facebook, facebook.com/EdAHubbard. and I've got a wonderful little picture on it, and I mentioned this. I think it kind of sums up part of this, and it says, spend your time with those you love unconditionally. Don't waste it on that only love you. They only love you when conditions are right. Act accordingly, all right for them. And on it, they have the picture of a praying mantis. Now, Marianne and I, and a lot of people at Witch School, we raised praying mantises for a season. We raised them from cocoons. We fed them wingless fruit flies. And poor Marianne's car turned into a hearth for crickets.
The death mobile. The cricket death mobile.
Because you got feeling bad for them. But in this thing, it says you're supposed to love people unconditionally and don't waste on those who, when conditions are right for them. Well, and they show this, the praying mantis, and I think that's how people see things inside themselves. There are forces in this world that are just relentless. Aging is relentless. You can do a lot about it, but it's relentless. You're going to age. It's like a praying mantis. If you don't know anything about praying mantises, the reason why we didn't have a second season of praying mantises is when we finally went to breed the females with the males, we only had one male left. Now, mind you, we hatched maybe 400 praying mantises to begin with. And at the end of the season, we had three females and a male left, and we went to go try to mate the. We thought we saw sexual maturity in the female, and she was ready. And no, she ate the male before he even had a chance to mate. And they went extinct.
Yeah. And that was the end of them, wasn't it?
Our little patch of them. So, it's not even that the praying mantis had love or hate. It just had instincts. And I think that's what people are trying to train. And the people who train for attitude towards gratitude try to convince you that it's instinctual. If you're grateful all the time for what happens, then positive things will happen to you, that you will attract positive things. And that you should have faith in that. And that if you have faith in that, then this is called the power of attraction, or the law of attraction, that like attracts like. And that if bad things happen to you, you must not be really that grateful. So that's one of the things I have a problem with, a perpetual attitude of gratitude. I certainly think that if you have more than the average person or even have less than the average person, but you're happy, then you need to express it, and you should be grateful, and you should be continuously grateful. I'm all for that. And it does make you feel better when you're grateful. I mean, the opposite is to have everything that you could possibly want. And in that process, of having everything that is grateful, that you're grateful for, and still wanting so much more that you're not happy with it, with what you have, then bad things happen. I have a friend like that who I thought his circumstances made him miserable, but no, it's his inner life that makes him miserable. He has plenty of money in the bank. He has a good job that he's been doing for a long time. Knows it very well. I can understand. It's a boring job. I wouldn't want to do it.
I can understand getting bored with your job and that kind of thing, but...
You know, but
in
he
this
is,
particular instance, it'd be like I think I'd be happy to have a job that paid me every week and that I could count on getting a paycheck.
Mm-hmm. He was able to give himself a brand new car.
Yeah, there you go.
And,
go on vacation.
He goes to be able to go on vacation. Has an amazing amount. Has one of the most amazing record collections I've ever seen. Has television. But his selfishness inside of him sometimes is so great that he can only see the misery in his life. That he can only see the difficulties, the miserableness, the, oh, I don't have enough, or I don't have anything. And so I can see that.
Well, I guess there's degrees. There's degrees of happiness, obviously.
Right.
And some people that are listening to the show right now think, oh, well, I'm always happy with what I've got, and I'm perfectly happy, and that might be true.
Well, let's talk about the opposite. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's how they look at life. I mean, they're willing to settle for what they think is due to them and what comes their way. And if they're happy with that, then that's fine.
Well, I always get the other side of it, too, that spirit will always provide.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that they're grateful, that they're so grateful for what they have, and spirit will always provide, and we don't have to worry about it because spirit gives us what it wants. And so, and I've watched my own work. When I've worked really hard, especially as a religious person, I've worked really hard, and I've gotten some great people going, and I go, we should be grateful. And then at the end of it, we should be grateful to spirit. You know, people who aren't actually involved with it, who just basically are involved with it in a smaller way. But, you know, after all that hard work, after all of that labor, after all of this blood, sweat, even tears, right down to your soul, you're weary, you're tired, and all of a sudden, to me, they go, we should be grateful for spirit for this opportunity and spirit for making this happen. And it's like, and they never mention the human beings involved, never mention a moment of gratitude towards the human beings, never once really goes out of the way and saying, and I am so glad spirit worked through them. I am glad that they demonstrated what I mean by spirit. No, it's just spirit's fault. Spirit gave it to us. And it's kind of, and for me, that dispossesses the very thing we just did. It's saying, well, if spirit would have provided no matter what happened, oh, so my hard work and labor, my blood, my sweat, my tears, my team's tears, my, you know, the yelling, the screaming, the tension, the money spent, all of that is irrelevant because spirit made it possible for us to do this.
Well, it kind of makes you not want to do anything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, well, would you, you know, if you felt like you got no, you know, it's not even a matter of getting credit for what you do. You don't care about credit. But to give the credit away like that is my problem.
Well, yeah, and I had a friend, like 20 years ago. She's passed now. She passed to the other side, but she always said, you can pray to God. She was a Christian. You can pray to God, but you still got to move your feet. So in her mind, you know, it was like God may give you stuff, but only you kind of had to, you know, do your part as well. Like, you know, it's like buying the joke about the lottery ticket, you know. That's like
right.
Your favorite. Yeah, it's the same thing. You've got to buy a ticket if you want to win. You just can't expect... You know, expect to win the lottery if you don't even bother to go down to the grocery store and buy a ticket.
Right. Well, that's it, isn't it? And so I do have this problem with this attitude of gratitude to the extreme. Should you be grateful for things? Should you know what you have? Knowing that you have an attitude of gratitude makes you feel better, and you should be grateful for what you have, but it doesn't mean that that's all you should have. I guess this is probably way different than people thought we were going to talk about. I thought that we were going to talk about how to be more.
And it, sometimes it sounds contradictory, but I guess it depends on you as the person. What are you willing to accept? What are you willing to take? What are you willing to do to get what you want? And are you willing to settle for whatever comes along, or do you want more than that? Are you willing to work a little bit more for that? I mean, sometimes it's not even, it can be as simple as a visualization. You know, it's like, I see myself doing this. I mean, it sometimes can be that simple to, you know, to help you achieve what you want.
Well, yeah. Well, let me take you for a moment. And I know you're really grateful to all your customers. You show your gratitude to every customer. You are excited every time you get a sale on My Mystic Journey.
I am.
You know, you're as happy, and I've seen you. You're happy when if you get one customer or two customers or three customers. And you're really pleased for each customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a little more than this is, you know, people don't realize it, but you started your business 3 years ago, right? This month.
Yes, it's been 3 years, yes.
Right, and you started it right before Christmas, but you didn't really get, you were too late into the Christmas game.
Because I was, yeah.
Because you finally decided you were going to take a chance to open up the jewelry company that you had been always talking about. You had talked about it for years before that.
Okay.
That you wanted to make that. And so certainly when by cultivating an attitude of gratitude towards your customers love you. They speak well of you. They reorder from you. They tell other people about you. And because you're grateful for doing it, your artwork only gets better.
Oh, well, I'd like to think so, yeah.
And it does. And that's the positive aspect of an attitude of gratitude. Your customers, you know, buy things from you, so you're feeling, like, vested into doing a better job for them.
Right.
And for yourself, you explore different ideas, and some of them don't work, and some of them do work, and you try really hard.
Yes, I do.
And you're constantly expressing your admiration, not just for your customer, but being able to have an opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a little bit of money on the side, not very much, you know.
No, I'd like to make more. I will admit that. I would like to make enough to be able to have this as my real job and,
mm-hmm.
You know, continue to improve my sales.
Right.
I don't think that's bad to ask for that or, you know, like asking for too much.
No.
No.
And you do. You can ask for that. And that's where your attitude of gratitude is. And it's okay to say, you know, thank God for it if you choose to do so, you know, that God is letting you do it, if that is what you believe. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if somebody came by and says, are you thanking God for your jewelry? Well, why should I be thanking God? Well, he let you do it. Hmm?
Well, again, it's kind of maybe a mutual effort a little bit, making yourself open to good things to happen,
mm-hmm.
Allowing yourself to believe that you can succeed. It's sometimes it's that simple, and working hard sometimes as well. Sometimes you have to work really hard to realize things,
mm-hmm.
realize your dreams or whatever, your accomplishments. It's, you know, I can visualize it all I want, but I still have to sit down and make the jewelry every day and you know, and
mm-hmm.
take pictures and do the listing. So you have to take it one step further than just thinking about it. But it's a good place to start.
Well,
like, I think I want to do this. Yeah.
And I think I want to do it. And you look for hope. You look for inspiration. You hope that you can find a path. And that's where I think spirit comes in, the idea of spirit comes in. Is once
sure.
you decide something, that spirit can open the way for you. And I think you should be grateful when the way opens up to you. But I can tell you, I've worked really, but for me, one of the places I think, one of the hardest things I've ever faced as a pagan priest, and one that has really, truly, truly puts me into question, is the unacknowledgement. You know, and here's one of the hardest parts, and this is probably something where people can go, well, you should be, and I'm not a Christian here. So remember, I do not want to be held to a Christian standard here. Okay?
Okay.
It is the idea that I do things for the community, and I shouldn't expect thanks. I should not expect gratitude. That basically you do it, and the people are like, well, thanks. We're going to use what you do, but we're not going to help you do what you want to do. They take what they want from it, take the meat off of it, spit out the bones, and turn around and ask me, is there any more meat? Without thanking for me for providing the meat in the first place. And one of the biggest things I did in my life was Pagan Expo. Almost every time somebody would come in and do an invocation, thanking spirit for bringing us all together. You know, constantly, oh, bringing spirit together. Isn't spirit wonderful? Isn't the deities wonderful? And again, it bothers me a lot that it's like they didn't acknowledge even in a heartbeat that human beings were also involved. And then that's one of the reasons why my team's hardly ever held, because we did great things and people weren't grateful to them. I am constantly grateful to all the hosts that are on the radio show, for example. And I go out of my way to tell them that. I think that they work for us. I think that they serve with us. I think that they take time out to do the shows. I'm grateful to the audience who listens to us. I'm grateful because we're now having another terrific month in a row. You know, this is our fourth best month already. We're not even anywhere near done with the month. And so I'm grateful to them, and I express that gratitude. I really thank them, and I thank them privately, and I thank them publicly. It takes a lot to do a radio show.
It does.
And
it's a commitment.
And to do a radio show 7 days a week and have a team that does it is a terrific thing, and we are benefiting. I have Tracy met with Patrick McCollum this weekend, who introduced her in part, you know, as being one of the best, you know, one of the best radio shows out there. You know, being able to give a communication, and we're able to do things that are just other people don't get to do, and I'm grateful for that. But if I were to say, well, isn't the Spirit rewarding us for doing this? And I constantly give all the credit to Spirit, I give all the credit to God, and not acknowledge the people around me, how do you think they would feel? I think that, you know, that sort of thing, it's kind of very disheartening.
Well, a lot of religions are self-effacing. They're, you know, it's all about modesty. But is that actually all there is to it? I mean, you would say that the Buddhist religion might be like that. Would you kind of agree with that?
Sure.
But there are aspects of the Buddhist religion that are not like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe there's a time and a place for it, and then there's a time and a place for fighting, too.
And sometimes you do have to fight for what you want. You do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take it from the devil. You know, I say, and I call it, take it from the devil. You know, sometimes you have to take your projects from the devil. You have to, you know, save them from a negative action.
Or just action.
Take action.
Yeah.
I always love the term that, you know, the Chinese symbol for opportunity is crisis, or, you know, or the symbol for crisis is opportunity meets action, work.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, basically,
they're the same guys that say, may you live in interesting times.
Times. And that's a curse. And in that moment, I've always felt that terminology was really terrific in the sense opportunity meets preparation. When you have a crisis, it is a testing time. And if you survive it, be grateful. Not everybody survives their crisis.
Well, and if you not only survive it, but if you come out of it better, then
mm-hmm.
then you've taken, you know, a negative and turned it into a positive, or you've taken something that's devastating to you and turned around and made it work for you somehow or another. It's really hard.
And that's the moment.
You know, we're sitting here talking about it. I got it, you know, kind of in a cavalier way, but it's really hard.
It is really hard. And that's where the attitude of gratitude comes in. Well, let's say Chris Christie, the governor, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't stand the guy. You know, and I'm not sure that I like him anymore now. I like him better now. I'm not sure that I would vote for him because he was such a blowhard. But he got hit. His state got hit. And it got devastated. And in that moment, he went past his political job and became a true leader.
Right.
He, you know, he met with the people that had been his enemy only a week before, in the form of the president. He, you know, he was constantly stating his gratitude for people helping him, and he refused to attack the people that were helping him. He says, "No, these people are doing a great job. They're helping me." And just last
night. Because he was a Republican and they were Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And a lot of people got very, very mad at him, Governor Christie. They wanted him to and they wanted him to repudiate what he had said about the president, that the president was doing a good job. The government, federal government, is doing a good job. They're doing the best they can. They're helping us. It's not going to be fixed in a day, but please, 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 we can help. And that was a true allegiance of cultivation. And then when he was called on, he was absolutely called on by major Republican figures to repudiate the president. He went, no, I'm not going to do that. He did a good job. I'm not going to go against him. I'm not voting for him. He stuck to his guns. But I don't care. You know, I'm not going to say bad things about him on this because he did a good job.
Yeah.
That attitude of gratitude and that integrity is what I think that people are talking about when they talk about attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on Saturday Night Live just last Saturday.
Yeah.
And he made fun of himself. Hugely. It was very funny. But he got his message.
And he made his point. Yeah.
He made his point. New Jersey still needs help, and they're working on it. And you can tell he was still great, and he was so happy to be on Saturday Night. He was so grateful to be there. He was so grateful for what has happened to him, to reach this challenge. I think that's exactly what we talk about, taking disasters and making them better. And the best way you can. Because unless he's, none of us could stop that hurricane from hitting. It just isn't possible. And if any weather mage said they could have done it, then you should have done it. I'm just saying. Don't tell me you could have moved that storm in your fantasy world. Prove it to me. Pagan Science Radio on Sundays, where we talk about how to prove some magic. But, he couldn't, nobody could help it. And it was hard, but you find the best of it. I mean, people talk about the best of New York. One of the things that was happening was supposed to be the New York Marathon, and they're going to have the New York Marathon. But the marathoners, instead of running the race, decided they had lots of generators, they had lots of water, they were really ready for the race. They turned around and said, we're not going to run this race. And all the marathoners that came in came out and helped people. Because they were so happy that they weren't hit with the storm, and they were so happy they were able to help.
Right.
These are the moments of attitude of gratitude. So I think people need to understand that's what we mean. I think that's what I mean. I think that's what you mean when we talk about gratitude.
Right.
And building that attitude of gratitude is when the chips are really, really down. Be grateful for anything that happens to help you out of that. And to thank the people who helped you out of it. And for me, it is seeing God in people, not in the heavens.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, let me take one more example of this. I hate football players that says, I want to thank Jesus for our win today. Jesus didn't help you win. I don't really think Jesus took sides in that football game. Do you mean you have more Christians on your side than their side? If you can win football games solely by the number of devout Christians on your side, then why wouldn't you have just one team full of devout Christians? And why is that team so successful that nobody could ever compete against them? If Jesus as a supernatural entity was helping you that much, you should never lose a game, right?
Well, in theory, yeah.
Oh. And I always feel when people do that, what they're really saying is, I'm going to show you my religion, but I'm going to discount the fact that each of my teammates worked really, really hard to do the best job they can, and together we came together as a team tonight, and we won. For me, the attitude of gratitude in the moment, and I am grateful that Jesus gave me such a great team to play with, even if they're not all Christians. There's Muslim there or whatever's there. I'm grateful for the people. But no, they don't say that. They say, I want to thank Jesus for the win.
a lot of people that win awards and stuff do the same thing.
Yes. And I always love the fact Kathy Griffin wanted to thank everybody else. One day she says, I'm not thanking Jesus for this. And they got really mad at her for that. Jesus had nothing to do with this.
Well, it's all part of that being politically correct, right? Even if you don't think it or believe it yourself, you just can't go saying it because, well, then people might think you're not good.
Right. So when you are grateful for this and you want to make your gratitude placed, it's okay to thank God for what is happening, thanking deity for happening, thanking your personal deity for what is happening, your ancestor for happening. There's nothing wrong with that. But also remember the people that made it possible, the actions that made it possible. You know, that's the important thing. So as you go into this holiday season, I think that's really important that you not just thank deity for bringing you the food and the goddess for bringing you food. Thank the farmers. You know, the truck drivers.
They work really hard, and sometimes they have really crappy years, too.
Well, this year is a really crappy year to all the farmers we know.
Yeah.
You know, be thankful to the truck driver who drove it from the farm. Be thankful to the grocery clerk who was working for minimum wage, putting up those groceries, and that poor clerk who's tagging you out, and thankful for the person who worked the job which paid for the groceries. I mean, am I asking for too much when I talk about it? And those are the moments of gratefulness. The true attitude of gratitude is to realize the miracle that is happening at the time. Not just that spirit made it possible, but people made it possible. That a complex web of things have made it possible. And there is some luck in there, and there is some and meaning. Mary and I, we drove down out of Chicago. We went and visited my daughter yesterday, which I'm very grateful for, and my son. And it was a great time. We ate lots of lasagna. And
we did.
We did. It was good lasagna. And as we came back to it, when we drove up there in Illinois, they have these things on those highways called, they mention how many deaths that are happening, how many people died on the road. And when we were going up north, it was 844 people who died on the roads this year. We came back and it was 853. What
happened? Yeah, nine. Yeah.
Nine people died within the day that we traveled. And so that moment is where I can think an attitude of gratitude. I am grateful that we're protected. I'm grateful that it wasn't me in that accident. I can understand that. That is something that you can be thankful for because some of that is just plain stupidly random. You know?
Yeah. That's it. Sometimes it's just totally random. It's just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's all.
And that's a moment of attitude of gratitude that you can thank God because it's only by the grace of God. Thank deity.
Yeah, I guess so. That would be a case where you assume the creator.
Right.
Whether they had a hand in it or not, I don't know. But if you're going to thank somebody, the universe is as good a place to put
Lady
thanks
Luck.
As anywhere else. Yeah.
Right. Lady Luck, because I have no doubt some of those people died of no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a truck tire came off or something strange happened because the world is very chaos. So in that moment, I think that it is appropriate to be grateful to the universe, to deity, to whatever forces are in your life that you didn't, you know, that didn't happen to you. That's a difference. But when it's something that happens good to you as a result of human interaction, just don't say deity did it for you. Cultivate the attitude of gratitude towards the people that are involved with you. And that's where I think it's the strongest. I think the attitude of gratitude is when you are thankful and grateful and acknowledge to do so. Don is mentioning in our chat room, thank the turkey. We actually go pretty out of our way to thank the turkey. And it sounds crazy, but we actually have this whole, when we celebrate Thanksgivings together, we have this whole tradition of naming the turkey and to truly talk about the sacrifice of the turkey. You know, what the turkey went through to feed us. So that's another way to be grateful, is recognize what it is. It's when you don't recognize the actions that lead you there. So one of the things about attitude of gratitude is not just be grateful for the end result, but to be grateful for the process. And I think that's the biggest part of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The process. At least I think so.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a quick commercial right here, and we'll be right back.
Mystic Gems offers a unique and unusual variety of vintage and modern jewelry items. My handcrafted creations include steampunk jewelry, crystal and elemental designs, cosplay accessories, wish wands, and beautiful bullets, my signature line of piece jewelry. My designs are perfect for all gift occasions, including holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, as well as bridesmaids and groomsmen's gifts for weddings. I do offer custom pieces and will work with you to create something special just for you. Visit my website at mymysticgems.com to find links to both my Etsy and Artfire stores online. You can contact me at mymysticgems@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anyplace online magical education. With a wide range of classes in magic, witchcraft, and psychic arts, as well as exciting social forums through Ning and Yahoo, video through Magic TV, and online radio with Pagans Tonight. Buy a membership today. And if you've already got a membership, buy another for someone you love. They're a great investment. Witchschool.com.
And we're back.
Okay.
And do please support us. And we're grateful to everyone who supports Witch School and the Pagans Tonight radio show. A heads-up note for people we're grateful to Oberon Zell and Ariel. On Wednesday will be the last the 77th and last Over to Oberon and Ariel will be this Wednesday. And it's the same day Pagan Warrior Radio begins, so it'll be interesting. Oberon, who's going to be celebrating his 70th birthday, has decided to retire from radio for a little bit, doing a weekly show so that he can finish up his books and some other projects that he has. And so we're grateful for having him. He's been on for 77 weeks. And so... Mm-hmm. 347-308-8222 is our phone number. You can always give us a call. We'd be actually more grateful. You know what we'd be more grateful for is more interaction from our audience.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yes. And so one of the things I think that we talk about, well, let me talk and let me go ahead and say that, you know, I'm grateful for Marianne. I sat down and looked at, you know, me and Marianne have been doing this show for over 2 years now.
Okay. Has it been that long? I don't know.
Yeah, we started it. We started it in March of 2010.
Okay.
A little bit, about 3 months after you started your jewelry business.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, I found that out interesting. So I'm grateful for Marianne coming on with me every Monday. Blue Fire Witch, who's joined our team. Mark Mandrick, who's been doing it for a while. I want to thank Selena Fox, who's been doing it. Her presence on our radio station just celebrated their first anniversary with Pagan Warrior Radio. The Pagan Priest Show, which is kind of a new show. I'm grateful for all the Pagan Priests that come on. And we have so many our guests. Pagan Warrior Radio on Wednesdays, followed by Oberon Ariel. And I am grateful to Oberon for spending so much time. I mean, he's a big name. I mean, and he chose us to do it, just like Selena chose us to make their message. And I really appreciate everyone who wants us to be part of their life. Thursday, you know, Terry Power's been doing a show for almost 2 years himself. And he's going to it. And I believe this is the last Thursday he's going to have an independent show.
Yeah,
we're changing the lineup. Starting next week, him and Don are going to team up to do more of a Corellian-focused show on Thursday nights. Kind of a more increased show. And that'll be the Tree of Life will be there. That was our brand new show. Friday's the Pagan Priestess show. Starting this Saturday, I'm not sure that they're going to take it all at once, but the Pagans Tonight in Spanish, doing an amazing job, just spectacular. And
they really are.
And they're going to be going out to 3 hours. I think they're the only radio group that has actually able to sustain a 3-hour show that we have so far. Repeatedly, but they have a big team they put behind it.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, we have the Variety Hour with Liz Hamilton. You never know quite what she's going to talk about. And then followed by Pagan Science Radio with Alan Solomon, Brendan Tripp, and myself, which is a new show. We've only been doing it for about maybe 2 months. And this week is going to be our first open mic week. We're actually going to sit about and have an open mic to ask so people can ask us questions. Because last week we asked, what are the gods? And I'm grateful for all of them. I'm very particularly grateful to Tracy, who helps run the station, Pam Kelly, which helps run part of the boards, and we just have so many amazing people. And I'm really grateful.
There are a lot of people. I don't think people realize, you know, it takes a lot of work to
mm-hmm.
keep the show going every night.
And I think some people do realize it. It's all volunteer. I mean, every little stick of this. There's not one paid anything in the show. Not one person is paid for anything for doing it. We're grateful for them. I really just wanted to do a shout out before Thanksgiving on that. I love them all. I love them for what they do.
Yeah,
I do, and I am extremely grateful for them at this time. And that's where I cultivate most of my attitude of gratitude. I'm really grateful for them doing. I realize they don't have to do it. I realize that they could be doing anything else, and they chose to spend some time to help us make this project and our audience equally so. I'm grateful to them because they spend time with us, and they find us interesting. They may find us fascinating. They might find us, and sometimes I think they find us boring, and they're still sticking with us. But they're helping us
or
grow.
Annoying.
Hmm?
Or annoying.
Well, sometimes And so I'm grateful for that. So what are you grateful for this Thanksgiving season, Marianne?
I'm grateful to be able to have my business and kind of keep it going, and I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for my friends that I have that support me in good times and bad. And for my family as well.
That's good. I like all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, folks, tell us what you're grateful for. In the next hour, Blue Fire Witch and Mark Mandrick are also going to be talking about what they're grateful about and how to deal with gratitude. So I think that's going to be kind of cool.
It's kind of a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to be our theme this week. So, you know, so something to think about. But trust me on what I say for myself. Being grateful does not necessarily mean that you're a patsy. You have to fight for what you need. You have an obligation to fight for what you need sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it clear what it is. You just can't sit around and wait for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's somebody mentioned the old joke about the boat. A gentleman falls off his fishing boat, and his fishing boat leaves him behind. He's in the middle of the water. He says, "God, please help me." And then another fishing boat comes by and says, "Hey, need any help?" And the guy goes, no, I'm waiting for God to save me." All right, and the fishing boat leaves. The next come by is a yacht. And the aunt says, "Hey, you okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just waiting for God to save me." And finally, a helicopter comes up from the Coast Guard and says, "Hey, you're in the water. Do you need help?" He says, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me." And then finally, night falls. He gets cold and he drowns. And he goes up to God. And God goes, "God." And he sees God and he goes, "No, welcome to heaven." He says, "Yes, but God, I have a question. Why didn't you save me?" He goes, "Save you? I sent you two boats and a helicopter to save you."
One of your favorites, right?
It is one of my favorites, because when you have an attitude of gratitude, when you are, recognize it, you can see the possibility of anything around you. I mean, that's one of the things is, you know, take a little bit of an action. And you take it and you grow that opportunity. It is one of my favorites. It's right next to it with the lottery ticket one.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think that you have to take action and you have to accept help as it comes. You know, not help at all costs, because I've had a lot of help that I've gotten over the years that just was too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
The most expensive help I've ever gotten was free help. Because for many people, free, there's no such thing as free.
You know, it can be like that.
Yeah, and I've gotten a lot of that. And especially in our pagan community, because we don't necessarily have the same attitude of gratitude that other communities have, or this idea of completely giving, consequence-free giving. We aren't a big, in the pagan community, you don't see, we are not our brother's keepers. We are independent beings who have a right to control our own lives. Because when you're your brother's keeper, you feel like, oh, okay, I'm keeping you alive. I also have a right over you. And we don't feel like you have a right over you. I have a right to do what I want. And even if it's something that might hurt me or something that's bad, I do have a right to do it sometimes. And you don't have a right to tell me. Where your right, where your privilege ends, where my rights begin.
Okay.
And that's some of that. But I do think that is part of it. So we should. So do you want to leave? I'll give you the last word. Do you want to leave something positive out there, Marianne?
I think that at the end of the day, it's you, in some ways you do have to accept what comes, but you don't always have to take it on the chin. Sometimes you can fight back. Sometimes you can move forward, and sometimes things turn out even better than you could possibly have imagined because you take action instead of just lying down. So I guess that's what we were trying to say for all of our ways we said it. That was what we were trying to say. And I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving this week.
Me too.
Hopefully everyone has something to be thankful for.
Me too. So I'm going to finish with a song of some that was dedicated. I'm going to be playing Maybe by Gwen Squires, which is Katrina's song. Somebody who I was very grateful to have known, and Spirit took too soon for me this year. And I was grateful to have known her, and I wish she was here this Thanksgiving. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
So choose, make a life in California, but your dreams and all your hopes are ripped away. Where have you gone? Where have you gone? Do you see the light of the call home? May
Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to The Path Less Traveled. I'm your host, Mark Mandrake. This week, my co-host is with Moses, Blue Fire Witch. Unfortunately, down and out for the count this week. She is traveling, making her cross-country trek from North Carolina over to Illinois for Thanksgiving. So she's will not be with us tonight, so if you could, please send energy for safe travels, and well wishes, and I imagine peace for her son, little Griffin, so that he can not give his parents a disastrous time in traveling. For those of you who have traveled with small children, you probably know it is not the easiest of things. So, this is our pre-Thanksgiving show. Tonight's topic is giving thanks and giving back offerings and energies to the gods. So I'll be talking about gratitude as a value, why that's important. But that's I don't, as some of you might know, I don't want to just turn this into the Mark Mandrake Lecture Hour. That's no fun. So we'll talk about some different things as well. We'll talk about the gods. And also I do want to talk about something that some of you may not know about, and that's the six Hermetic Laws. So, for those of you who have heard about that book, The Secret, that actually uses one of six Hermetic Laws. Also, we'll go over some pagan things happening recently in pagan news, talk about Christopher Penzack and his Temple of Witchcraft, and talk about the America Academy of Religious Conference and how that has been helping out pagans. And I'm going to shout out to my old buddies back in Chicago, because that's where AR is, folks. And the reason why that is so important is because it gives a chance for paganism to be seen in mainstream academic circles and gives us, of course, a lot more validity. So, I will try to get into the chat room if possible. It's just me, so if I'm a little slow in the chat room, I do apologize, but I'm using a little faster computer so I can get in the chat room, which I'm excited. Ooh. So, I hope all of you are getting ready for Thanksgiving. doing the sacrificial rite of the turkey. I see Reverend Don is in the chat room talking about turkey central to that rite. You know, it's kind of funny how some pagans get a bad rap, that for those people that don't know much about paganism and they first hear about pagans, oh, pagans are devil worshippers and animal sacrifice. And every year around this time, for those of you in more rural areas, you know, it's hunting season. People are going around hunting deer. And, of course, we have the sacrificial beast. Makes me think of the great beast in the Grimm story. We have the sacrificial rite of the turkey. And sacrifice is about, oh, we're going to, like, kill something and gain magical power from it. Well, we actually do gain the magical power of nutrition and calories and tryptophan knocking us to sleep. I don't know about you, but in my family, for whoever fell asleep first because of an overload of turkey, they're usually the one made fun of. We'd put, like, objects in people's laps, or we never did the, like, handed warm water trick so people would pee on themselves. We didn't do that. We weren't that cruel, but we would take funny pictures sometimes, things like that. On the internet a couple of years ago, there was this thing called Uncle Goddamn, and it was this drunk uncle, and they would do all sorts of stuff. They'd paint him silver paint, like the Tin Man from Halloween, and set him on fire, so. Anyway, I'm not advocating setting your uncles on fire for Thanksgiving, though, especially because Lunas has passed, and the whole thing with the Wicker Man burning, and, you know, it's too late in the year, folks, so please don't burn your uncles. Maybe next Lunasa. On the next Lunasa, we'll talk about the path less traveled, we'll talk about burning your uncle for fun and profit, because those people actually made a little bit of a profit off their funny home videos from online video sales. Anyway, entrepreneurship aside, the part of the word sacrifice, of course, is to make sacred. And many cultures, let's say like in religions such as Judaism, Islam, there's the act of making the food sacred, that when the animal is slaughtered, that there are prayers sent over and that food is made sacred. On a similar note, in Hinduism, there's a concept of prasadam. And in prasadam, the food is offered to the deities first. And the food left over, is what we eat. Instead of in some pagan rites in some traditions, you'll take the food and, like, leave it by a tree or the animals or another way, giving it back to nature. Instead of that, the food part is... it's part of our connection with the gods. And I'll go into that later, about how food and offerings connect us to the gods. So stay tuned. Here we're with the whole Thanksgiving and food being sacred. There's, once again, this idea of the food is, like, made holy. It's, I think the really interesting things about American holidays is that they are secular religious holidays. You know, Christmas is this idea of giving gifts, and regardless if you're Christian or not, I really believe that Christmas is no longer a Christian holiday, that it's a secular American holiday where we do look for the best of each other and look for peace on earth and peace in each other's lives. On that note, for Thanksgiving, it's about giving thanks, you know, not only for things like internet, so you can listen to Pagan Tonight. Shameless plug, shameless plug, shameless plug. But for having the ability to have someplace warm to stay, to have food, friends, family, loved ones, etc. It's this idea that we have a time that it is a nationally, federally realized holiday that our country is taking time for a holiday, just to give thanks. And if that's not something special, magical, and spiritual, I don't know what is. I really do feel that there is this magical energy connected to the holidays, and not only with food, and you can definitely make a case for the magic of food for from our kitchen witch friends out there about how different herbs and spices have these sacred meanings, and they bring their own magic. Look at the, for example, the magical association with sage. You know, most people can burn white sage for purification, you know, connecting to the holy, connecting to the sacred. But what do we do with sage during the holidays? We put it in our turkeys. We ingest it. We bring that sense of peace, prosperity, and well-being directly into our very bodies. So I'd like to give you that as food for thought. If anyone does want to call in on the show tonight and has any stories they want to share about gratitude, the gods, Thanksgiving, anything like that, go ahead and give us a call at 347-308-8222. That's 347-308-8222. Also, if you want to ask for advice on how not to kill your family for the holidays using psychic protection. But I believe we're actually doing that as a later show, so I don't want to give too much away. Yes, we're doing, next week is A Pagan's Guide to Surviving the Holidays. How to save on gifts, survive judgmental family members, and celebrate the holidays pagan style. So, talk a little bit more about psychic self-defense for the holidays then. I'll talk a little bit about this week, but it's got more for next week. So, stick around then. Shameless plug, shameless plug, shameless plug. The, A couple weeks ago before the show, I was actually thinking about this topic, and a funny thing happened. I'd like to share a little anecdote. So my fiance Jessica and I, we're in Michigan, and we're trying to get our lives together, get everything all situated at home and job and all that, and make it as big kids in the world, responsible adults. And we were we had bought a small bottle of wine, like a $3 bottle of sangria or something from a convenience store. And it was funny because we were talking about the gods, we were talking about, you know, doing some prosperity and magic and some magic to open up opportunities in our lives and things like that. You know, in this economy, who doesn't need more prosperity or more good luck in order to get things going where they want to go, right? So there's this bottle, and we hear like this little click, and all of a sudden it smells like wine. I'm like, that's really weird. And we stop the car, and we're going at the time, and we can't find any wine anywhere. I finally find the wine bottle, and there's a little tiny crack at the bottom. The bottle isn't shattered. There's just a little tiny bit of glass, like, kind of cracked. And the entire wine bottle is empty, you know. I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, there's going to be wine everywhere. It's going to get over. The kids are in the car, and, like, there's going to be wine over the kids' backpacks. And, oh, my God, the kids are going to go to school smelling like winos. And, you know, oh, my God. I'm freaking out. But the wine's not anywhere. That's very strange. So I finally find a very small wine stain that's maybe about the size of maybe a silver dollar, maybe twice the size of a silver dollar or that. And I'm looking outside the car, and it's dripping fluid. I'm like, oh, God, what's going on with the car again? But it's wine. I'm like, that's weird. What had happened was this little tiny, the bottle had clicked out perfectly. The wine had drained into this perfect area and literally leaked through the car onto the ground to let the wine onto the earth below. So, and then when the car had stopped, before then, one of the kids had spilled a box of crackers. So I'm brushing, like, all these crackers, and my Jessica comes back to the car after we're here, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I think we were supposed to give more offerings to the gods, and there's an offering of inadvertent crackers and saw an accidental offering of wine. And I really took that as a sign from the God saying, wow, you know, we're looking after you. We're there in your lives. So I thought that was pretty neat. Also reminded me to give more thoughtful offerings to the gods. Even though the gods are there, it's good to have healthy acknowledgement and to just like some people will call. I try to call my mom at least once a week. Hi, Mom. I don't think she actually listens to the show. Well, my mom is Catholic. I've slowly turned her into a bit of a kitchen witch over the last year or two. It's funny, actually. She called last time I was talking with her a couple days ago. She's like, there's a specific banishing I taught her on, instead of just like smudging a place with sage, to actually open up a portal to where the energies need to go, and had like a little extra oomph. And she's like, "Is this a visualization you use for that banishing?" I was like, "Yes, Mom, it is." I'm like, wow, I'm talking about banishings with my mom. Life is good. Life is really good. Anyway, there is much value in gratitude. I truly believe this, and I'm very happy that we do have a holiday that we can actually acknowledge the sacred. Growing up, we made a huge thing, our Thanksgiving tradition, we made this huge thing on blessings. Everyone on the table, and we'd have our family. We didn't have a huge family, but let's see, it'd be me, my mom, my aunt, cousins, uncle. You know, it'd be about less than a dozen people. And, whoever I was dating or my mom was dating at the time, you know, it depends. It'd be a motley assortment, definitely. But one thing we'd always do every year, regardless of the cast of characters assembled, was every person would take as much time as they wanted to say what they were thankful for. I think if you have children, sometimes kids can really get into such things. And I remember my little cousins really talking extensively about the things they're thankful for, which is funny because the boys, Jessica's boys, my soon-to-be stepsons, they will, we do blessings. Every night we actually do blessings at the dinner table. We'll take turns. So it'll be me, Jessica, or the friends we're staying with, or the boys. And one of them will take a long time saying all the things he's thankful for and his blessing for dinner. And we're like, okay, we like to eat. But he gets into it, and so we don't rush him. Give him as much time as he wants. Anyway, my family, we did a similar thing, and we took as much time as we needed to say what we were thankful for. And we held hands. And I remember one year, I thought we'd never eat, and I thought the food was going to turn frozen because we'd waited, I think, dear God, like 20 minutes. And I must admit, as a foodie, waiting 20 minutes for Thanksgiving dinner is kind of like a slow death to me. I'm a huge foodie. I can cook from several different cuisines, and I can whip out a gourmet meal from leftovers and odds and ends like you wouldn't believe, folks. But, sorry, thinking about turkey. Anyway. Oh, you know what? We didn't mention our prerequisite things. Every episode, for those who don't know, one of our running jokes is we must always mention sex, politics, and bacon. So, on the bacon front, I am looking forward to turkey leftovers and having turkey and bacon and cheddar melts. Oh, that'll be good. Okay. Back to gratitude. So, part of gratitude as a value is there's a lot of different things. I think gratitude is kind of a smorgasbord of different feelings and emotions that are very useful in one's spiritual life. For example, humility. You know, there's the idea that we are part of an interdependent web of existence, as our Unitarian Universalist friends might say. And giving gratitude, especially during meal times, we are acknowledging that we are just a little tiny bit in a larger system of life. I know growing up in the city, knowing that meat, I of course knew that meat came from animals, but I'd never been to a slaughterhouse and never slaughtered my own animals or anything like that. But the older I get, the more I try to have more opportunities to connect myself to life cycle. It's really an amazing thing that we are a part of. That I was at friend of mine, my friend Jim Eckhart, who we interviewed on the show a couple months ago, and I believe that was in August, he owns, with his partner Ron, they own a small farm. And it's really just like kind of a homestead farm. They have turkeys and, what do they have? Turkeys and they have peacocks, not to eat at all. I don't imagine peacocks are very tasty, but I could be wrong. But they have turkeys and they have chickens, and they're great folks. But for them, it was really gratifying to see that the whole cycle, that you know, I'm eating chicken that they've slaughtered, and I'm seeing like the baby chicks, and I was there at 3 a.m. Jim wakes me up with a little turkey hatchling, you know, like any proud papa. He was so excited, like, oh, we have a little turkey baby's hatching. And knowing that these, you know, he's nurturing that these turkeys, and he's probably going to eat one, at least one of the turkeys he hatched. And it wasn't any type of awkwardness, but it was much love and reverence for these animals and giving them a good life and taking care of them and nurturing them. And then at the end of their life cycle, slaughtering them, you know, for food. And I still think that's something that we're still very disconnected from, especially with supermarkets and bringing us very nice and hygienically packaged meat. Not that I'm advocating disease or anything, but what I'm saying is the meat that's packaged in a grocery store is far, far different than slaughtering an animal or seeing an animal slaughtered. So, for those of you who have children, I highly recommend taking them out to see that. So they see that it's part of the cycle of life and death. So, one of our listeners said, my sister has chickens. She made one into soup while my kids were there, and her daughter came back home saying, Aunt Shannon fed us yard chicken soup. That's funny. Thank you for that. So, there was this, going back to gratitude, there's a sense of humility in being part of this larger cycle. And also, there's reverence. There's respect. There's revering these animals. And you can imagine that these... I know later on this week, to be honest, when we look, I believe on Thursday's show, they're going to talk about animal totems. And I'm sure they'll talk about turkey as an animal totem. I'll be very surprised if they do not, in fact. And if they don't, you should bug them in the chat room and say, Mark Mandrake said to bug you about turkey totems. But imagine that the animals that we eat we're also putting in those animal forces and those spiritual energies. You know, I definitely see from eating turkeys, and I do not know what the traditional correspondence would be for turkey, perhaps except for gratitude and prosperity, because they get pretty fat and juicy and delicious. But turkeys can also be kind of territorial, and they can be pretty stubborn. So I imagine, you know, taking in the energy if one needs it to be more, you know, protective, to have more boundaries, and reinforce those walls, to be a little stubborn, because stubbornness isn't a negative trait all the time. To be stubborn is also to be sure of yourself, to know who you are, and to fight for who you are. So I can imagine taking in those type of spiritual energies when I'm taking it.
Radio Network is a nightly podcast on Blog Talk Radio with a variety of shows. Explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Join us on Crystal Web Mondays with Ed and Marianne, exploring where crystals, crafts, and psychic powers converge. Followed by Mark Mandrake and Blue Firewitch covering the mystic and pagan world on the path less traveled. On Tuesdays, Surf Crash Study with Selena Fox, followed by Pagan Priest, a panel show with priests from around the nation talking about men's spirituality. On Wild Wednesdays, Where Anything Goes with Ed the Pagan and me, Tracy Logan Wood, followed by Over to Oberon featuring Grey School's headmaster, wizard, Oberon Zell Ravenheart, and Green Egg Editrix, Ariel Montserrat. On Karelian Thursdays with Terry Power, discussing the nature of the divine, followed by the pagan pundit, Reverend Don Lewis, the chancellor of the Karelian tradition. On Friday, Pagan Priestess, another panel show featuring priestesses from a variety of backgrounds, philosophies, and traditions. On Saturday, Pagans Tonight in Espanol, led by Reverend Lamatic and Yoko, followed by Circle's Pagan Warrior Radio, a show that supports military pagans, friends, and family. On Sunday, Variety Show with Liz Hamilton, followed by the new show, Pagan Science Radio. Please visit us at www.pagans.com to see show schedules for all shows or friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Pagans Tonight is sponsored in part by WSI International, your online source for pagan, Wiccan, and magical education. Tune in and join us. Thanks and blessed be.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis from WitchSchool.com. I am now offering psychic readings specializing in tarot and clairvoyance. Book your reading now and take advantage of my New Year special. Find out more at www.revdonlewis.com. Blessed be.
Be more than an incredible ritualist. Be an effective leader for your community. My book, Bridging the Gap, Working Within the Dynamics of Pagan Groups and Society, is geared towards filling the common gaps in our community by using techniques as tools to assess, understand, and work with the changing dynamics of any group or coven by using common counseling techniques. The book discusses tools around anger management, assessment, boundaries, behavior shaping, restorative justice, conflict resolution, maintaining a healthy group mind, and mentoring. As paganism evolves, it is becoming clearer that being an incredible ritualist is not all that is needed to be a competent leader or member of our pagan community. It is necessary for us pagans to have tools and skills in dealing with a myriad of issues that can plague any group or society. Pick up your copy of Bridging the Gap by Crystal Blanton today at your local metaphysical shop or order through www.crystalblanton.com, Amazon, or the Emanian Press website.
Okay, folks. Hopefully that will resolve all my issues by calling back in. If you guys can hear me, please, someone in the chat room, just let me know and say, I can hear you. Because I would appreciate it. Okay, and we're back. Folks, I would like to remind you that Mercury is still retrograde. Mercury retrograde in astrology affects everything to do with the correspondence of Mercury, which brings us to our next subject on Hermes and Mercury and the Hermetic laws. So I'll talk about that in just a second. But I'd like you all to join me in what I like to call the Mercury retrograde song. And during Mercury retrograde, things like communication get screwy, sometimes travel, which is great during the holidays, right? Yay! So, 1, 2, 3. Happy Mercury retrograde, happy Mercury retrograde, happy Mercury retrograde, happy Mercury retrograde. Yay! All right. So whenever you get frustrated by communication during Mercury retrograde, you too can sing a happy Mercury retrograde song. That is my present to you. Many happy returns. Anyway, so I'd like to give a little side note on Hermetic philosophy. What I mean by Hermetic philosophy, there is a body of wisdom attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, who may be an avatar of Hermes, or may have just been an awesome teacher and a cultist. It might be the god Thoth. No one really knows. But Hermes Trismegistus bequeathed us this huge body of philosophy that has influenced everything from Aleister Crowley down to Wicca to pretty much everything you can think of in modern Western occultism and paganism. So these things are ruled in Hermetic philosophy. They're what's called the seven Hermetic laws. And each law is kind of a piece of a puzzle on how to really work a current of manifestation, prosperity, and spirituality. So I'd like to give a little bit of an illustration of this concept, especially how this comes back to our topic of the gods and connecting with their energies. So the first Hermetic law, and I am going somewhere, they do all connect. The first one is a principle of mentalism, and the law of mentalism. The law of mentalism is that everything is mind. This, you can think of this as kind of like in Hindu belief that we are all, that Vishnu is asleep. Vishnu is the Hindu god of preservation. And he is helping, quote-unquote, preserve the world by being asleep and dreaming the world into existence. So we're all the dreams of a sleeping god. Just kind of a cool concept. Kind of scary, so I hope Vishnu keeps staying asleep for a while, because I'm, you know, I got a lot of things to do. I got turkey to eat, you know, folks. I don't want Vishnu to wake up yet. So he can stay asleep for a bit. Anyway, there's, with everything mind, everything is the same stuff. So this kind of breaks the illusion of spirit and matter, that it isn't that everything is the spiritual duality. That, in fact, spiritual duality, that spirit and matter, or heaven and earth, that they're separate is an illusion. In fact, Einstein said it best, E equals MC squared, which is saying energy is mass times velocity of light squared, or energy and mass are the same thing. So, in the same way spirit and matter, idea and manifestation, are two sides of the exact same coin. So, and in Hermetic philosophy, you actually hear the thing that all is one mind in many things. Okay, so if everything's mind, then, you know, we do still have these dualities, okay, because there's my internal self versus my external self. But if that's the case, then there's the next principle, or the next law, is the law of correspondence. And that corresponds with, okay, everything is mind, but we still have to deal with these illusions of duality. And if everything in duality is kind of a line, then everything has a balance. That one thing on one side of the line corresponds to another. For example, the gods of death correspond to death that happens in the actual world. Or, like in this very similar way in the Hindu belief, that all of the gods exist within us. So that, for example, that Shiva, not only does the god Shiva exist within me, just as Shiva exists somewhere outside of me, but all of those attributes of Shiva are within me as well, because we're all made of the same stuff, made of the same universal soul stuff. So there's this correspondence. Okay? So everything's mind, and then there's correspondences. But connecting everything, one thing that corresponds to another, there's vibration. So imagine how, and this is actually, it's kind of cool, if you take two tuning forks, especially, it's a little easier if they're the same, attuned to the same note, but if you knock on one tuning fork, the other tuning fork is going to start vibrating. It's pretty neat. This is called a resonance. In the same way, two things spiritually vibrate and resonate. And it's the vibrations that connect us. Just in a similar way that, like, when one child cries, another child, all the other children start crying. It's because in their minds, they are all the same thing. their emotions are the emotions of one child are corresponding to the emotions of another child to identify with it. And then there's that vibration, and that vibration is happening through literally the sound waves, sound vibrations of them crying. Now, how this corresponds like the gods is that the gods are within us and outside of us. Then there's a natural vibration. So what we really need to do is make the vibration higher. This is where in a lot of New Age circles you hear about, we got to raise our vibration. You know, what that can really mean is that if there are things we want to connect with, especially, you know, the divine, if we want to make our lives more holy and more sacred, then we attune to that vibration of spirit that we want to bring into, and by attuning to it, we start to vibrate it and start to become it. Now, if there is this imaginary line of duality, which actually I think is kind of helpful because viewing everything as all one thing, well, it's hard to pay the bills and figuring out who's who and what's what and what needs to be done in the world. We are unfortunately limited by this quote-unquote illusion of time. So we have to work with these illusions as tools, which is very interesting because one of my main things I like is Hindu mythology. There's a lot of correspondence between illusion, which is called Maya in Eastern philosophy, and the architects of the gods in Hinduism, who is kind of like the Hindu Sanskrit, I believe his name is Vishvakarman. But I have to double check that. Sorry, folks, my Sanskrit's a little rusty. So there's this vibration, then there's also polarity. I'm like, there's one thing on one side of the line, and the similar thing on the other side. So if all the gods are within me, and the gods are outside of me, then there's this polarity, that there's the internal pole and the external pole. Energy, we are vibrating. We have a vibration that goes between those two poles, or those two dualities. And that brings us to the next principle, which is the principle of rhythm. So we can have the law or principle of mentalism or mind. Two is correspondence. Three is vibration. Four is polarity. Now we're at five, rhythm. So that there's a rhythm between polarity. Now, if we're talking about vibration and sound, well, personally, one of the things I've noticed that connects us to spirit really quickly is song and singing and dance. It's movement. It's that vibration, but the vibration, the movement of energy from one polarity to another causes rhythm. Just like when between a positive and negative pole, electricity can be created or generated. So this principle of rhythm, and so if we look at this in our spiritual lives, if we're asking things from the gods, which we're, in a lot of ways, I think we do have a paternal our maternal relationship with the deities, and the fact that, hey, help me out, my car is breaking down, I need some help, don't let my car land in the ditch, or hey, I need some money I need to figure out a way to make things last the next paycheck. So I think we're always asking things of the gods, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But then on that note, the energy is going one way, there's not rhythm. And I think that's a lot of problems with prosperity magic with modern pagans, is the energy is going one way, us towards the gods, or the gods towards us, but we need to bring it back the other way. And that's what offerings really do. They help with that rhythm. And it's not about, a case could be made, to get down a cult nitty-gritty, that when we give an offering to the gods, there's that life force energy we give them, and that's kind of the spiritual currency or food that the gods have. You know, the gods, you know, use that spiritual energy we give them to do things or to connect to us. And I do believe that. But also, I think it's even more important, other than feeding the gods, which I very much view as a sign of respect, but it's having that gratitude and giving offerings, you know, like the wine, the wine story I was telling earlier. There's this really excellent ritualist in Minnesota named Stephen Posch, really great guy. And he was talking about it in a ritual class where he'll take, talking about offerings to the gods, and he'll uncork a whole bottle of wine and pour that whole bottle of wine into the earth as an offering. And if that's an expensive bottle of wine, that's a very significant act. I have friends who do voodoo in east side of Michigan, and they will have elaborate feasts, and they will buy some pretty costly offerings to the Loa, to the deities of voodoo. And God's help me if they don't get results. And it's not because they're thinking, oh, if I spend all this money on the gods, God's going to give me something. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of love, reverence, humility, gratitude. And that by creating that gratitude energy that connects to the deities, well, then the deities can connect better to them. So there's that rhythm, that give and take, the push and pull. And that brings us to the sixth principle or law, which is the cause and effect, principle of cause and effect. So there's this rhythm that means one action is going to affect the other pull, and different actions or more actions can increase this rhythm, can create effect, and of course speed things up. So that's something to think about. The final principle is the seventh principle, which is the principle of gender. And it's the idea that it's very similar to the principle of polarity, that things have an quote-unquote equal and opposite. But it's also the fact that everything generates, everything is, manifestation is truly generated through these gendering forces. So to kind of use the Western dichotomy, the Western polarity of male and female, if in modern pagan symbolism, it is the masculine force that penetrates and the female that receives, or fertile energy of the sun, shall we say, versus the generative energies of the earth. Well, a similar way that the energy of the gods, in a way, is more the masculine principle, and we humans here are more the feminine principle. And it's this connection, this deep intercourse between us and the deities that generate all things. Something to think about. And I don't just talk about, to go with mentioning the second of our three pillars here on the Path of Travel, to talk about sex. We do connect, we can connect to the gods through sex. Nothing wrong with that. Or offering, during the act of intercourse, offering up the energy of our orgasms, that love energy. And hopefully you get to have sex with someone you love, folks. It's not just your ritual magic partner you're having sex with, I guess, occultists with privileges or something. Anyway, you can offer up that love energy of sex and orgasm to the gods. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's this idea, once again, that when these polarities are swinging in a rhythm, and that one thing affects the other, and there's this very intimate connection, that you are having this powerful, well, no other word, it's a very powerful sexual thing of generation. And through that connection, through that polarity swinging back and forth, and that's what happens. There's rhythm in sex, there's polarity, there's vibration, with and without toys, folks. And with all these things together, it really is a recipe for how to manifest things with the help of the gods. So, hope that was helpful. All right. So, got a little bit of time left. I did want to talk about some things that were happening recently. For those of you who are in and about Chicago, the American Academy of Religious Conference is happening. And actually, I got to say, this is one thing that frustrates me about the Wild Hunt, is that Jason, who illustrates, an old buddy of mine, I wish he would name more names of people that aren't big-name pagans, because there's a lot of great people that he really neglected to mention in his articles on Wild Hunt. But still, folks, read Wild Hunt. It's a great website. It's wildhunt.org. And my old buddy Jason Winslade, another Jason, did a day-long pre-conference for the AAR conference called Mapping the Occult City, Magic and Esotericism and the Urban Utopia. And he had some really cool stuff. He had a lot. He had some of my friends who did run the occult bookstore in Chicago. Had my friend Joan Forrest Mage. Had a wonderful guy, Dionysus, from the OTO local OTO lodge. And basically, they had this really amazing conference on the magic, everything from the magic of cities to let's see, I'm going to actually go to the site real quick. Oh, they had all sorts of cool things. I'm going to click on the conference schedule. The website was occultcity.wordpress.com for those of you interested. And you could see all the cool stuff that was there. Let's see. I know they had a conference on the God of Chicago, quote unquote. Michael Berdio, who is an amazing occultist, who wrote the Gnostic Voodoo Workbook, was talking about his occult memories in Chicago. Terra Mysterium, which is a pagan performance group, they did a kind of a magic alchemy steampunk thing, which is kind of funny because the character they have there is called Marius Mandragore, which is Latin for Mark Mandrake. Did I have a coincidence? I think not. Anyway, they did an occult history of Chicago. My friend of mine and Tracy's, Ken Berg, he did something on touring occult Chicago, mapping the urban ley lines. Ken does also, he's done sex tours of the city, and he also does Weird Chicago tours. And a really cool book called Weird Chicago with some other folks. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting that a lot of the occultists in Chicago got together and did this pre-conference for the American Academy of Religions. And I really think this is where we need to go, folks, in terms of getting more out there. And I hate to break it to some of you, but paganism is getting more and more popular. And the more that we have positive visibility that we're basically sound like we know what the hell we're talking about, the better that is for everybody. And the more acceptance, the less religious discrimination we get in general. This is a good thing, folks. So, other things that happened in pagan news. There was also Christopher Penzack over in New Hampshire. You know, he's a pretty big name pagan author, for those who don't know Christopher Penzack. He's a pretty good guy. I've met him. I've been a guest of honor with him at Pagan Unity Festival in Tennessee. He's a pretty cool dude. So Penzack was saying he has a temple of witchcraft that he's, of course, been working on for several years. But he has been having some problems just getting zoning for a simple parking lot. And a lot of it is, unfortunately, religious discrimination because he's a pagan church. And the, quote-unquote, churchness of Temple of Witchcraft is being questioned. However, a Hindu temple just was recently approved in the same area. So I find that very, very interesting. Another thing that's been going on in the news is how kind of not exactly affects pagans. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. One thing does affect pagans that's really amazing is that the first graduate of the master's program at Cherry Hill Seminary has happened. So the idea that we can get a master's of divinity and having the same credentials as other religious leaders is now fully realized, folks. So congratulations to Sandra L. Harris, who is the first Master's of Divinity graduate of Cherry Hill Seminary. So that's pretty cool. She also has had her credentials examined and accepted by the Board of Chaplaincy Certification, which is the credentials examining body for the Association of Professional Chaplains. So that's pretty cool. Excuse me. So it's kind of a bit of a roundup on pagan news. I know we'll get more stuff on those who have been talking about the Patrick McCollum case. I know Tracy's going to have Patrick McCollum on the show soon. And he was actually in Chicago hanging out because, you know, he was going to AAR because Patrick is, of course, not only an advocate of paganism, but he's also one of our, probably one of our best ambassadors for paganism, literally going across the world. So, that's very, very cool. I believe Tracy's having him on. I'm trying to see, or did she already have him on? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. You might have already been on. Anyway, if anyone, I actually have something. Blue Fire Witch and I are, of course, trying to keep the show current and do what you want to hear. And we try to make the show, you know, we're doing it for you guys. We're not just here to listen to our mouths flap. We could, and actually we do. We're very good at slapping our mouths together. We've, you know, we're good friends and talk about stuff all the time. But if there's anybody who does have any show ideas, just let us know. Go to the Pathless Travel Facebook site, or you know, feel free to get me on Facebook. Of course, under here is Mark Mandrake. Actually, after the radio show, I need to go and go through friend requests and messages on the old Facebook. So if you already friended me, I apologize. We'll be friends by the end of the evening. Not that we're not already friends now. One thing I am debating on doing on the show is doing more weekly spots. For example, when we did the Tarot Call-In show, that was really popular. So I'm wondering if you guys would like to like it with once a week we had like two or three people call in every week with problems or wanting advice, and we do like a mini reading and kind of like, you know, paying an advice column or something like that. That's kind of fun. I know I love reading and stuff like Dan Savage's column. If you haven't read no Dan Savage's, shame on you and go to the internet right now. I like the old Dear Abby advice columns, but I'd like to hear something that might be cool to hear advice columns with a tarot, you know, for pagan. So if you guys think that's a cool idea, let us know. Let us know what you want to hear. We're doing a show for y'all. And just so you know, no one here gets paid. You know, any money that we generate with small, very, very small money we generate off of advertising or anything like that, you know, that directly goes to paying for show costs. So we're all volunteers here, not getting paid. If you think we're getting big money off the radio show, that would be awesome, but you would be wrong. Maybe one day. Anyway. I hope everyone has an awesome Thanksgiving. You know, please take some time to, you know, give thanks. And if you do think about it, you know, maybe take a little plate of food and give it to a biodegradable paper plate if you can. or even just take a handful of meat or something or whatever you want to do. But, you know, take some of your feast for Thanksgiving and then gratitude. Put some, maybe by a tree or outside as an offering to the gods. Maybe pour a little wine. You know, like, this one's for me, this one's for my homies. You know, like, we're all gangsta. You know, I forget that everyone isn't familiar with gangsta rap culture. Or the jokes that associate thereof. Anyway, point I'm making, folks, is make it sacred. And feel free to give offerings to the gods to connect us, and especially if you're going through a hard time and you are doing spell work for prosperity or anything like that, you know, do what you can to connect to the gods. And in many religions, tithing is part of something that they do all the time. And on that note, I think part of what that really does, it connects us to the divine. I'm not asking all of you to give 10% to a local pagan charity. However, if you're, you know, really, really well off, then I definitely think you should. But the point I'm trying to make is by giving back to the gods, even just a little bit, You know, it heightens our connection. And the more connected to the gods we are, well then, you know, the more we're connected to the universe, the more we're connected to each other, the more we're connected to the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. And theoretically, that's kind of what it's all about, being pagan, or at least part of it, right? That we are connecting to something greater than ourselves, and through feeling that connection and living it every single day, that we become something greater than ourselves, and we bring in the holy and the sacred into each and every moment of who we are. So, on that note, it's about time to fly the proverbial coop. So I hope everyone has an awesome, awesome Turkey Day, and an awesome day of giving thanks to the gods, the ancestors, and to each other. And blessed be, and good night, folks. Next week we'll once again have Blue Fire Witch should be back, and we will have A Pagan's Guide to Surviving Holidays. I didn't get a chance to talk about psychic self-defense for the holidays, so we'll sure as heck talk about it then. So thanks so much for tuning in, folks. I love you so much, and blessed be, and good night.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.